The first Palm Sunday. We're going to look at Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11.
Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11 begins, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it, and if anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road and cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before those and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Okay. Now, we have the picture here. Jesus getting ready to enter in to the outer reaches of the city outskirts, basically the suburbs of Jerusalem. He's on the main road to enter into the main gate at the temple entrance of Jerusalem. He's on the main road there with Bethany and Bethpage. With Bethpage on the first little city, little town, Bethany on the next little town on the road as they go into the main road coming into Jerusalem. They don't actually enter into Jerusalem. They go on these roads, and there are the people gathered out there on the outskirts because this is the big week. This is the Passover week. This is the big week where everybody who was anybody who wanted to be there for the Passover and the Jewish faith had already gathered. The city was overflowing with Jewish people. People of the Jewish faith from all around the world, the known world at that time, were there crowded, flooding out of the city, staying in the outskirts probably because it was cheaper, just like we do. We don't stay in the inner city because it's cheaper to stay in the motels on the outskirts. You stay a little bit further away from the city, it's cheaper. So here we are. All these people aren't necessarily the people who live in these towns, but there are a lot of the people who live in these towns. They're all gathered there. They see this going on, and boom, something comes to mind. What is it? Well, here it is. Psalm 118, 25. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David." But it was more than that. They saw a picture in their mind. Hosanna says, "Save us." They were seeing somebody coming to save them. But what were they being saved from? They were being saved from a lot of things in their mind. But let's go back and see this picture of this colt, this picture of this little baby donkey, this little baby foal of a donkey, a colt. And look at 1 Kings 1:33 and 34. You see, David proclaims Solomon king, and what does he do? In verse 33 of 1 Kings chapter 1, he says, "The king said to them, 'Take with you the servants of your Lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest
and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. And blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. See, in that day, it was a sign. One way a king could enter into a city was to come on a horse, riding in all of his glory. But that was a king coming in basically warfare, conquest. Another way was a king coming in peaceful way. Basically, there was no conquest to be made. He was coming to claim his rightful throne. Solomon was taking over for his father, and he was just walking into town saying, I'm taking over in peaceful conquest, no conquest here. So he rode in a peaceful king. Jesus was doing this to say, basically, here it is. There is no war to be taken here. There is no war to be made. I am the rightful king of the Jews. I am the Messiah. I'm going to ride into town like this and make my statement, yes. But here is the problem with this. The people were seeing more into this. They were seeing a king that was going to dethrone a sitting king. And this king wasn't going to get up. But they saw something that wasn't really happening. They weren't seeing the real picture. They weren't seeing the spiritual king that Jesus was making himself. It wasn't a king like David that they were seeing. They were seeing the spiritual king. They were seeing the Messiah. They were seeing Jesus, the king of the Jews in the spiritual sense of the king. They were seeing the king of kings, Lord of lords. They weren't seeing the king of Israel in the political sense. They were seeing the king of the Jews in the religious, spiritual sense of the king. And Jesus was saying, I want you all to see me for who I am. Yes, I am the Messiah, but there's a lot more to it. So, Palm Sunday, people applauding loudly, Messiah. There's one way we could see it. They were loudly applauding the Messiah coming in, screaming out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. A week later, a lot of these same people would be screaming, crucify him, crucify him. What would go on? Well, this week, they would see a lot of things go on that would change their mind about the man that they thought was going to be their Savior. A Savior in a way that a lot of people get their mind messed up about Jesus even today. A lot of people still have a way of seeing Jesus in the way that they want to see him, not the way that he wants them to see him. Jesus is still today the same person, the same Savior he was then, he will still be the same Savior forever. A Savior that longs to have a loving relationship that will save you from your sin, help you to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God, and continue to be in a wonderful love relationship with the Lord. Thing is, praising, adoring, loving Messiah. He wants to help you learn to praise God for who he is. He wanted you to see him just like they did. They started screaming out, Hosanna, Hosanna is in the highest. They started screaming out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes, praise God. Praise God for sending our Savior. Because God is the only one who can provide our salvation. They wanted them to see that God was the only one. They wanted them to love God. He wanted them to love God for sending their salvation. He wanted them to learn to love God and to learn to love him with the love that God had ordained back in the creation in the garden. He wanted them to see the Messiah for what the Messiah really was. The Messiah was not this political king that was going to set up a kingdom in Jerusalem and overthrow the Roman occupation, overthrow the puppet king that they had established in Jerusalem and say that, hey, now everything is right and God is now in rule and the theocracy is now back. No. He wanted them to see it the way God wanted it to be. Yes, there are going to be some bad things in life, but who do you put your trust in? Do you put your trust in God, or do you put your trust in the things of man? Government had always been a thing that was created by man. But God had, back in the day of Judges, said, okay, you guys want something to be like everybody else? Fine, I'll let you have the judges. That wasn't good enough. Fine, I'll let you all have a king. But I wanted you to always see me as your leader. That's why always the good kings and the good judges were those who looked to him for their leadership and their guidance. And the bad ones were the ones who always looked to themselves for the rulership of all of Israel. What they had really there in disguise was a political anti-Roman loathing mob in the disguise of a people applauding loudly Messiah group. It was really a political anti-Roman loathing mob. That's really what they had. What they wanted is Jesus to come in and really crush the Roman occupation, send them out with their tails between their legs, take over, establish his kingdom just like David was, and be the greatest king since King David. He was. He already was. But they couldn't see because their eyes and their minds were clouded with this sense of political nature that the world had already put in front of them. They wanted it to be what the world was. They couldn't see it for everything in front of them. So what they had before them was a personal and loving Messiah. Jesus wanted them to see that. Some of them caught wind of that. Some of them caught that. Some of them saw that during that week. Some of them saw that right then and there. I don't want to throw them all out and say none of them saw it. Some of them saw it right then and there. Some of them saw it during that week as the trials were all just a farce. Some of them saw it as he hung on the cross. Some of them saw it as he rose from the dead. Some of them saw it during those days after that. Some of them saw it the day of Pentecost. Some of them saw it during the preaching of the apostles. Some of them saw it after that. Some of them never saw it. Just like today. Some people see it the first time they're introduced to Jesus. Some people don't see it until after they have something bad go on in their life. Some of them don't see it at all. And still, when they do see it because they want to make Jesus into what they want him to be. They want Jesus to save them from their Roman occupation, whatever that may be. And Jesus says, no, that's not what it's all about. You're still going to have the problems of this life. I'll make them easier to get through. Yes, but still, you're going to have to live with problems in this life. It's going to happen. We live in a sinful world. That's the reality of this life. It's been that way ever since sin entered, and it will be that way until I come again. But it doesn't have to be so bad because you can live with the joy of Jesus in your heart. And he can take the edge off of the sinful world. How? Well, there's a lot of ways. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ. The things that you have heard from me and among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to the gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That comes from 2 Timothy 2. Remember, it's not going to be easy. That was Paul encouraging Timothy. But in a way, to remind you that the reality of life is hard. But God is good. All the time. So remember, we have a personal and loving Messiah that entered into that city. Some people saw him for who he was right then and there. Some people didn't. Some people never will. I pray that every one of us sitting here does. And if you don't, I pray that you one day will.